Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, speaking of Jesus, as he was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Shouldn't that be our request as well? Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Then jumping over to John chapter 5 and verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So tonight, with the help of the Lord and yours as well, we're going to be teaching on the priority of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, that we can always be improving in our prayer life with you. I pray, God, that it would be a journey, that it is a journey. Lord, that it is a journey of relationship with you, that we may know you and understand your will. Bless the word to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be seated. You know that the 12, the disciples of Jesus, was primarily made up of Jews. They believed in prayer. They were devout in their prayer. For a Hebrew at that time, like Daniel in his day, would pray morning, afternoon, and evening. They were committed to that Hebrew routine of prayer. They prayed, but they saw something in Jesus that they wanted to take to the next level and learn to pray like Jesus. The manner that Jesus prayed inspired whoever this disciple was to ask him this important question. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Maybe we ought to say that out loud today. Lord, teach us to pray. Notice the disciples, and I've said this before and I say it again, but the disciples didn't say, teach us how to pray. We've got all kinds of how to prays, but perhaps we ought to stop looking at the method and just simply start doing. Start doing. Lord, teach us to pray. Because it's real easy for us to talk about prayer. It is really easy for us to study prayer. But studying prayer and teaching on prayer doesn't mean a whole lot if we're not praying. Prayer is important. Amen. We find that Jesus Christ emulates for us the powerful prayer life that he had as the Son of Man. We understand that the prayer life of Jesus is something that in his humanity he prayed, so that we in our humanity should be praying. One of the most powerful revelations in Scripture is that of what Paul said, that in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a beautiful, beautiful tapestry when we begin to see how God revealed himself. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then verse 14, it says that that same Word was made flesh. The Word that was with God and was God, a man became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacle. That's what that word means. He came and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You are aware, if you're a study of Scripture, that the word here in the Greek is the word logos. So we would say, in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. How many has ever said, I wish I had thought before I spoke? Well, that's just the issue, because you can't speak until you think. If maybe we should say, I wish I had thought longer before I had spoke. Because there's a split second between what is happening here with us, with, you know, the word that is with my brain that comes then out of my mouth. And so the word, the logos, the thought of God was with God, and the thought was God. Amen. You have thoughts. Anybody got thoughts in this place? They're yours. And not, if it's somebody else's, well, we need to have a prayer meeting right quick. God, but we find that in the same was in the beginning with God, and then that word became flesh. Flesh. It didn't become a theophany. It became flesh. And it dwelt and tabernacled among us. Amen. Jesus, according to what Paul says in the writing to Timothy, is God manifest in the flesh. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He wrote, Paul did to the Colossians and said, for it pleased the Father that in him should dwell all fullness, for in him dwelleth all fullness. Jesus was the Son of God, amen, and that he was born of the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and conceived miraculously as a virgin and produced what is known as the Son of Man. For he was truly born of the flesh, through flesh and blood by Mary. But Jesus at the same time was God manifest in the flesh, but he was man in flesh as well, both God and Christ. Amen. Yes, Jesus is manifest in the flesh. Yes, we worship Jesus as the King eternal. And while we exalt him as Lord over all, we must never mistake that he dealt with his humanity. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. While the man Christ Jesus had a will of his own, he was always committed to doing the will of the Father. In his flesh, he had a will of his own, but he always went after the will of the Father. That's a lesson we can learn in our flesh. Amen. Jesus did not take a casual approach to prayer because he was completely committed to the will of the Father. He communed frequently in prayer with the Father for that very reason. Amen. He is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was made flesh, and he came, as it were, to take on that flesh. The word made means to come into existence or to become. The Logos became human. The word took on the properties of a man. Lexingham Theological Workbook says of this word flesh that it may represent earthly physical existence with an emphasis on the impermanence and inherent weakness of man. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Somebody say, the only. As the man Christ Jesus was born, begotten in a way like no other. But we today are born again. He being the only begotten of the Father, we are the born again sons and daughters of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came to be our example. And the Bible said, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Hallelujah. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Welcome to the family. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then notice what he says. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, and we as the born again, adopted children of God, we are a part of the manifestation of what God wants. And how he does that is that we, as being his representatives on this earth now, we pray like Jesus prayed. We pray like Jesus prayed. Because aren't we supposed to be like Christ? Isn't that the goal? Amen, to be like Christ. Matter of fact, it's God's will for us. For it says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. There's a lot of people that say they're born again, but they have no desire to be conformed to the image of his son. Then they are out of order. According to this scripture, because we have been predestinated to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is our example, and we follow his lead, and the desire is to be conformed to be like him. Amen. The Holy Spirit working in us is what helps mold us to be in the image of Jesus Christ in attitude, in mindset, in practice. Amen. And one of the ways we conform into the image of Christ is to pray. Somebody say, pray. When God would win back the world, he came down as a man. The first Adam messed it up. And the last Adam, Jesus Christ, would live and love like no other. He would speak like no other. He would teach like no other. He would serve like no other, but he would also pray like no other. Get this, Jesus prayed. We should too. Amen. He is the prime example in his flesh of being empowered to pray. The gospel refers to Jesus praying over 32 times. The gospels. 32 times. He taught, he modeled prayer. Amen. It is interesting when you begin to see how that Jesus was depicted by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how that those prayers in those books begin to reveal to us some exciting thing of Jesus. Matthew depicts Jesus as the king who was revealed from the promise of David and the genealogy of David. So he begins to see the Lord coming through the genealogy of David, the royal side. Amen. How many know he's king? Mark refers to Jesus as the wonderful servant. There is no genealogies in Mark. It reveals to us, Mark does, that he came to serve humanity. John, we find, revealed the glory side of Jesus as the Word made flesh. There is no genealogies in John because he has no beginning and no ending. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Well, where was before that? He was there. Before time began, the creator of time existed. Now, Luke. Luke is an interesting book. Matter of fact, Luke is a doctor, and he emphasizes the human side of Jesus as the Son of Man. So Matthew depicts him as king. Mark depicts him as servant. John depicts him as the Son of God. And Luke depicts him as the Son of Man. Jesus prayed and 5,000 were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus prayed and the widow woman's son was raised to life. Jesus prayed and blind eyes were opened. He prayed and Lazarus came out of a tomb. He prayed and miracles happened. Did they not? Amen. He prayed and it happened. But it is interesting, the disciples didn't ask Jesus, tell us how to work miracles. They didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to feed the hungry people like you did with just a handful of food. Amen. They didn't ask him, tell us how to raise the dead. They said, teach us to pray. Can I tell you, if we learn to pray, then we get the 5,000 being fed. If we learn to pray, then we get the dead being raised. If we learn to pray, then we get to see the blind eyes open. We see people born again. We see hearts and lives change when we pray. I'm telling you, prayer must be a priority. Jesus made it a priority, and so should we. So should we. We know that Jesus was a great communicator and a great teacher. We know that prophecy flowed through Jesus. We know about his miracles. We know about his leadership qualities. We know that he calmed the storm. We know that he healed the sick. We know that he raised the dead. Amen. Yet the only thing these disciples are recorded to ask Jesus to teach them was to pray. Let that sink in. I wish I knew more about God. Well, they had him right in front of them, and yet it was, teach us to pray. We need to know how to pray. Oh, God, I don't know about you folk, but this pastor needs to know how to pray now more than ever before. We are facing challenges, and we are facing decisions, and we are facing opposition that we need to know how to get a hold of God in this hour. Amen. They didn't ask to teach us how to cast out devils. No, they said, teach us to pray. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus gives us the model. He didn't wrestle in prayer over devils. He went to God in prayer, his Father, and said, I want to know you. And if I can know you, I can cast out the devils. As man, that is what he did. Jesus prayed in such wonderful ways. Let's look at some of them. Jesus prayed alone. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, in the morning, raising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed alone. Matthew 14, 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening would come, he was there alone. Luke records that he withdrew himself in the wilderness to pray. He also said he went into a mountain to pray and continued to pray all night long. Wow. Whew. Somebody said that's a flesh killer for sure. That's a flesh killer. We've had an all-night prayer meeting here a time or two, and it works on us. Luke 22, verse 39. Luke 22, 39. Jesus went out. He came out and went as he was wont, or as his custom was. Somebody say his custom. To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed. He said, you pray here, I'm going there to pray. How many know that there needs to be a moment in our life where we can close the door to everything in this world, silence the phones, turn off all the noise, and say, it's me and you, Lord, right here, right now. I need to pray alone. Amen. Jesus not only prayed, he taught what he practiced. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, we said this last week in our teaching on prayer, is that when Jesus said, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, I pray alone, and I'm teaching you to do the same. When you pray, go into the closet of prayer. Now, Jesus is not denouncing public prayer. He's not denouncing prayer among crowds. But what he is saying is that this should be your example, is that in your relationship with God, go and pray alone. Amen? One thing that's very interesting is that Jesus doesn't brag about how much he prays. He doesn't walk around with a timepiece and saying, I prayed this such and such, I prayed that such and such. He just did it. He just did it. Amen. He prayed in solitude. You know what praying alone does? It kills this old flesh, doesn't it? Amen. We ain't got nobody hear us but just us and God. Nobody's going to be impressed with your these and thous and how long and how much and whether it's pious repetition or if it's just blood and guts, you and God. Nobody, it's just you and the Lord. So it can kill pride in our flesh. Praying in solitude makes us avoid distraction and to put everything aside. I love my preacher buddies and those that go and study at Starbucks. I just can't do that, Brother Dylan. I just can't go, you know, sitting in a bustling place. I got to get over here in my office here or in the office at home somewhere where I am by myself. Now, I might play some music. I might have any other thing going on. But, I want to get alone with God and hear him say because I need to quiet my mind. Quiet my mind. That is my opinion. Not my telling you what to do. Avoid distraction. Praying in solitude gets the attention of our Heavenly Father. Jesus prayed in community. Jesus prayed in private, but he also prayed in community. He took Peter and James and John and went up into a mountain to pray with them. In Luke chapter 3, we find that Jesus prayed during times of consecration and revelation. Luke 3 and 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. So in a moment of consecration, as he fulfilled all righteousness in baptism, the Lord was praying. Praying. Come out of the water. Praying. Amen. What happened is that there was a shift in the dimension of glory. And the Spirit descended like a dove. And then a voice from heaven began to speak. Oh, thank the Lord. When you pray, you can get some revelation. Amen. Jesus taught us that. Jesus prayed in the morning, Mark 1:35. Jesus prayed with passion. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, mark that. God does not pray to God. This is not Jehovah Jr. praying to Daddy Jehovah. Right? This is in the days of his what? Flesh. This is the man Christ Jesus. He had offered up prayers and supplication. And how was he doing that? With what? Strong crying? And tears? Oh, don't you get emotional about your praying. You know, that's what those crazy people do. Don't you get emotional about that. That's what them Pentecostals do. That's what Jesus did. There are some times that you can pray these nice pleasant prayers and there's very little emotion, everything's pristine, and I remember one time going to a particular church not too far from here, and they said in the bulletin that the first sound of the organ let a holy hush come over that building. That was the same service that they invited MPC praise team to go and play and sing, and I thought, well, there's about to be an end to that hush here just in a minute. But I realize that sometimes there's got to be an emotion engaged. Jesus is teaching us it's okay to. Anybody ever cried and prayed? Anybody ever got loud and prayed? Anybody ever just shouted because you didn't know what else to do? Just holler the name of Jesus? Amen. Well, he taught us that in the days of his flesh, That's what he did. And the last time I looked, this is nothing but flesh right here. Amen. So I need to be willing to engage myself. Prayer was the custom of Jesus, as he was wont to do. Jesus prayed before big decisions. We find that Jesus prayed all night before he handpicked the 12 disciples. He prayed all night. Jesus prayed for other people. He prayed for Simon. In Luke 22, 31, he says, I'm praying for you, Simon, because Satan wants you, but I'm going to pray for you. Aren't you glad that he is our intercessor, our mediator? Hallelujah. Can you give him praise today? Prayer's got to be a priority in our life. Let's go to the book of John chapter 5. I want to pick up a story here that you're perhaps well aware of in John chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible said, and there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. They were clueless. What just happened? They focused on this part of the Sabbath. You're not supposed to carry your bed, and forgot. Oh, perhaps they knew it and didn't know what to say because they couldn't argue against this man here that is now taking up his bed and walking. But the reaction of this to this miracle is staggering. Some were impressed and some were angry because verse 16 says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Why? Because he healed the dude on the Sabbath day. The ministry of Jesus tends to make religious folks upset. They were angry because Jesus messed with their protocol. The Jews persecuted Jesus. That is that they systematically begin to harass him. How dare him break protocol, mess up their traditions? How dare him heal the lame man on the Sabbath day? That's not how miracles work in our church. He needed to wait for the troubling of the waters. That's what we do. It's got to be this way. I am so glad that our Lord doesn't have to put everything in a particular, this is the right protocol like this. He healed several blind men and every one of them. He healed differently. Or we would have made a religion out of it and said, this is the only way. It's the only way you can do this. So then Jesus stirred the pot. I love the Lord. He stirred the pot. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answering them, they're mad and angry. And he says, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Whoa. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father. And he made himself equal with God. He thought they wanted to kill him then, but now they surely wanted to mow him down. Now you've done it, Jesus. Not only did you break the Sabbath, but now you're declaring yourself to be God and doing the works of your Father. You're not talking about Joseph. You're talking about, they knew who he was talking about. Amen. Because Jesus is saying, I work when my Father works. What my Father wants, that's what I do. He works on the Sabbath, I'm working on the Sabbath. Praise be to God. When he moves in the miraculous, I'm going to move in the miraculous. I'm doing what my Father is teaching me to do. Notice, he continues in John 5 and 19. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Remember, in the days of his flesh, okay, what the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. What is Jesus saying? He is saying, I only do what my Father shows me to do. How does that happen? It happened when he prayed and he said, Father, I want to do your will. I want to know your will. Can I tell you the priority of prayer? We talked about this last week in the purpose of prayer, but there is a purpose of knowing the will of God. And if I can pray to know the will of God, then I can operate in the will of my Father. I want to know him so I'll know his will. And then do only what he says do. Prayer is the great moment of intimacy with God, to develop intimacy with God. We pray for God to show us everything he is doing so we can say, whatever you're doing in this season, O Lord, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Let me be a part of that. Prayer goes and finds out what God has already done in the invisible so that we can make it manifest in the visible. Prayer is where we find out what we're supposed to do next. Prayer is when we're supposed to, that's how we go and find out what we're supposed to do next. This year marks 19 years. Sister Gill and I have been here. You believe we've been here that long? I know I don't look that old, but yeah. 19 years we've been here. Thank the Lord. I'm fairly convinced that it was the will of God. But do you know how long it took me to pray that in? Yeah. I get through my stubborn head. Bishop had already talked to God 8 years before and had laid the subtle hints along those lines for 8 years. You need to come, you know, instead of just, maybe you should just grab me and shook me by the nape of the neck, but that's not the way he operates. Thank the Lord. We'd show up for Christmas, and Brother Jack would say, Brother Gill, you ready for me to get that U-Haul? This is years before. That's funny, Brother Jack. Good job. My father knew about it before I did. My dad, he knew about it before I did. Brother Harold and Sister Irene told me several times, you know you're supposed to be here, don't you? I appreciate that. Thank you. I just blew it off. It took me 3 months of intense prayer and fasting for 3 months for me to hear the will of the Father. Brother Mike, I just was stubborn. I wasn't ready for that. But you know what? God speaks to people in your life even before he speaks to you. Amen. But don't just take that for granted. Go and find your moment with God. And if you're like me and thick-headed like me, it may take you 3 months. But go pray until God reveals himself to us and begins to show you what his will is. Oh, praise be to God. Thank God that he spoke to some others because I had confirmation. Amen. And we are here today because somebody prayed. We spend all our time fretting and worrying and being upset over what we should be taking to the Father in prayer and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, then I'll do what you want me to do. It's not an easy task sometimes to just submit to the will of the Father, but when you know what it is, you go do it. Can you say amen? 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Oh, somebody say, I gotta pray. I gotta pray. I've gotta pray. Amen. Prayer is where we learn to execute God's God-given purpose and authority. Jesus said in John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son of Man to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What is he saying? In his flesh. He was given authority to operate in his flesh on this earth. Because he said, the Father's given me the judgment, and I'm going to execute that judgment with justice. I'm going to execute. How does that, what does that mean? I'm going to think like heaven thinks. I'm going to think like the Lord of glory thinks. Amen. The first Adam lost that. He had it in the garden, and he lost that. Jesus, the last Adam, had it, and he never lost it. As a matter of fact, he's given it to you and to I. Can you thank the Lord today? Jesus, the last Adam, was given all authority to do legal kingdom work. And he gave that authority to you and to me as the Son of God. God, we love you today. Lord, we love you today. Can we just take a minute, amen, here and thank the Lord? Oh, thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord, today. Man blew it, but God had a plan. Man messed up, but God had a man that would make it right. All the properties of a man, had all the issues of a man, yet without sin. Somebody say, without sin. He didn't just choose. He was never in a place that made him sin. Look at Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, amen, made of woman, made under the law, so that we can be redeemed, can now say the same thing. Father, Abba, Father. I want to know your will, Abba, Father. Amen. Romans 8:3 and verse 4 as well. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can I tell you that Jesus came to fulfill the righteousness of the law so that we can follow after the law, not as a Hebrew in the regiment of the law that they can never do properly all of those years in themselves, but now by his Spirit, we can do the righteous intent of the law. I heard a so-called gospel singer, famous gospel singer, make this statement. Somebody asked him, what does a church need today? And he said, less rules. I'd like to amend that to more righteousness. Because we can have rules running out our nose and not be able to fulfill it. But if we have the righteousness of God in us, then we can fulfill the intent. Somebody say the intent. The intent of what the law did, that God did for the law to be spiritual. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. And this is what happens when you have righteousness, legal authority, and legal standing in your life. Here's what James caught in this when he wrote, confess your faults, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another that and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And then he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a... That means someone that is seeking the will of the Father, someone that is seeking to please the Father, amen, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I stand in your righteousness, Lord, so I can pray with fervor. I can pray with intent. Jesus came to teach us the priority of prayer. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said again from our text originally, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will. That's the key to prayer. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Prayer helps us remember we're relying upon Him. He's the source. Can you just point to heaven right now and say, you're my source. Lord, you are my source. You're my source of strength and wisdom and righteousness and hope and salvation and healing. You are my source. As Jesus said in His flesh, I can do nothing of my own. Neither can we. I can't do it by my own power. Stop living for God by your own power and say, I need to know the will of the Father. Hallelujah. I can do nothing of my own, so I need to hear from God. Let the Lord talk to you. We're getting in a day where we just want to live off of human logic and understanding and what Aunt Sally used to teach and what Cousin Ed used to believe. And we want to, but what's the Lord saying to you? Can you seek Him for yourself? I need to hear from God in prayer. Like Jesus, we need to make legal verdicts based on what God says. Notice, the world is caught up in this, judge not lest you be judged, words of Jesus, but they don't want to jump down to John 5 where He says, I judge. Ouch. I judge. But listen to how He judges. And my judgment is just, it's right, because I seek not my own will. Isn't that the right manner to judge? To have a legal verdict is to say, Lord, not my will. Righteous decisions happen when we speak what the Father is speaking. You want to know what to do in your life? You want to know what decisions that ought to be made in your life? Flipping a coin, stop. Rolling the dice, stop. Listening to so-and-so, stop. What's your will, oh Father? I want to know your will, because if I can know your will, I'm going to be all right. When Sister Gil and I were at our first pastoral ministry place, we were young, still are. I was the ripe old age of about 30, 31, 32. And I had a real issue that I was trying to deal with, and I didn't know what to do. And the Lord laid a man on my heart, if I could get to him, that I believe He would have the answer for me. And so I got in the car. I drove 40 minutes to a camp meeting that was going on, and I entered into this building not knowing, never been there before. And I knew this brother attended that camp meeting. And so I walked into this huge auditorium that had two balcony levels and then a big level down below. I don't know how many thousand, that building with seat. And so where I walked in, I just walked straight in and got a seat. There was not a soul around me. And there were plenty seats down below, and everything was during the day service, and so I was just sitting there. In a moment, the door opened, and this brother walked in that door. I hadn't called him, hadn't texted him. I was just sitting there. And I walked in, and he could have sat 45 pews over that way. He could have sat back here or back there, but he come and sat right behind me. And I turned around, and I said, "Brother, the Lord told me if I could find you, you would have what I need." He said, "Let's go." We walked out, went into the area there where we could sit out in the lobby area like that, and all of a sudden he began to speak to me exactly what I needed. It was a word from God that gave me wisdom on how to deal with something. Amen. I want to tell you, if you'll seek God, he will reveal himself to you every time. Now, you might be hard-headed like this old guy, and it may be months. It may be years, but the softening of your heart will open up your heart to receive the will of the Father. Stand with me, please. Why do we have to pray? Why do we have to pray? Jesus said to pray. If there is no other reason, then that's reason enough. But he taught us the priority of prayer is that if I will pursue him to know his will, then I get his power. I get his wisdom. I get his understanding. I get his direction. Anybody need to hear from God today in your life? You need to just really hear from God? Well, let me just tell you, go to prayer. Pray. I don't know what to say. Just talk to God like you would anyone else in the essence of your vocabulary. Or it may be that it's just with crying and groanings, crying and travail. But go to the Lord in prayer. I wonder today, could we just take a moment and file out of where you're standing and come to this front, and as a body, let's group together and begin to pray that God would help us to know the power and importance of prayer. It's a God of
Thank you for listening to the MPC Podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.